Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
Meet me in the kitchen. What are we going to make? What do you crave? Hold our hearts, our history. Share it on a plate. What do you taste? Bring your body, bring your love, bring the ones you're thinking of. Make space and clear the table. And
queer social spaces are disappearing. According to David Carpenter, who wrote Stonewall, A History on the Riots, in 1976, there were 2,500 gay bars across the country. Today, that number has dipped to below 1,400. Part of it is that it's safer for us to be in mainstream spaces now, which is a good thing. And to be clear, gay bars never provided safety for huge swaths of the queer community anyway. And anecdotally, it seems that spaces for gay men are still doing a lot better than spaces for the rest of us. But regardless, there's been a loss, and I feel a lot of grief around it. In most of the cities that I've lived in, my only options were occasional pop-ups or monthly dance parties. On the show today, we have Bhavani and Saskia. They are a couple of cutie queers from across the pond. They saw that same lack of casual, friendly, queer space in London and quite impulsively decided to respond by starting a brewing company, aptly named Queer Beer.
We've been a bit nervous about this.
Yeah, we've been stressing around in our house being like, oh,
we've been like stress hour. Cleaning for about the last hour.
Oh my goodness!
Like practicing how to say our names and shit like that. So. But we're excited. Finally, we're doing this.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Let's start there.
Okay, you go first.
I'm Saskia.
And I'm Bhavani.
Maybe we, yeah, I think we sound pretty different. So
hopefully hopefully you'll be able to see, hear who's who.
Yes, absolutely. Cool. Well, I'm so excited to be hearing your story.
Yeah, we're so excited to tell it.
So I guess my first question is for Bhavani. I was reading an article about Queer Beer that kind of started with your story before launching the company and talking about, I think you said in there, like, I kind of was like pushed or fell out of the closet and then bumped my head on the floor. And
so yeah, it wasn't a smooth coming out. Yeah, in the least. I lived basically in a very small town just outside of London. And it was not exactly like a cultural hub, I guess I could say that. I'm Indian. And so my parents, had quite traditional views on sexuality, not even traditional views. We just never spoke about it. And they just weren't used to the situation because in my culture, it's more about when you're ready to get married is the only time you ever discuss relationships.
Right.
Or being with someone else. So me coming out at like 14 being like, I'm gay, like was pretty like shocking to them, and they didn't really know how to react, I guess. So I was like the lesbian of the town. I was like the big old gay in the town. because I'd like cut my hair short at the time and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be butch as hell and I'm gonna embrace it. And I was going to school and we got to like dress in like our own clothes for the last 2 years of high school, and I was like mixing it up with like all these different clothing, and it was kind of, I felt like the only one in my town who was kind of a queer POC, because I, you know, didn't see anyone else like me. And I didn't really enjoy being in the town that much. So I kind of picked up little jobs here and there to come into London. So the town I lived in was only 30 minutes on a train, but the difference between that distance was so massive in terms of like basically living in a field to then coming into this like huge city. Yeah. And I moved over for uni, which I went to an art school, and being in an art school just meant like I was going to be hanging around with a lot of queer people, I think. And it was great. I met some of my closest friends, and I kind of got that feeling of like having a queer family for the first time. And I've never had anything like that. So London in itself has just been like the most special place ever for me. So,
so dreamy.
Yeah, it was. It was, especially when I was moving here. It was crazy. It was so, so much fun just like coming over. Yeah.
So wild. And that's where you two met, right? You met Saskia in London. Do you want to tell that story, either or both of you? Yeah,
why don't you take this one?
So that was like 2.5 years ago, and I had just came over to London for like a month because I didn't really know what to do after high school, and my friends were living here at the time, so I was kind of visiting them, and I met Bhavani on Tinder, like you do when you're new to like a city.
We swipe right.
And Bhavani was ghosting me, I thought, because I messaged.
I was playing it cool. That's the way you're supposed to say it.
I messaged you asking if we should grab a beer.
Yeah.
Which in Stockholm, like everyone kind of says that, let's go for a beer. But I guess in like maybe British culture, American culture, I don't know if you guys do that in the same way. It's more like, let's go for a drink. Bhavani like, basically thought I was very into beers from that moment.
From that moment, yeah.
The beers were just basically like the cheapest drink to have. So that was like, why suggest a beer?
It sounds like neither one of you was like deep into beer. You know, it was like a big beer nerd.
I was like, I've been like just drinking like gin and tonics, which sounds so posh, but like that's my dad's fault. Like he like was like, you gotta order a gin and tonic. Like, don't go for a beer. Come on, you have to. Like, I'm like, okay, like make it classy or something. And I soon realized that gin and tonics are very expensive to buy in a bar, so that's kind of we have had like a couple of beers, and that's I guess where the beer started, was 2.5 years ago, because I started to drink more beers.
It became like an inside joke, really.
Yeah,
because you were like Bhavani would like Snapchat me drinking a beer before, when we were just like dating, trying to impress me, thinking that would be like,
yeah, because I thought she just loves her beers, and so I was like, okay, well I guess I'll buy every kind of craft looking, fantastic looking beer in like a grocery store, and I'll just show off and be like, look at me drinking a beer kind of thing. Right. It sounds so lame now. Why did I do that? And that's kind of actually more or less where it started, because I started looking more into like the design. I saw how some labels of these beers look really beautiful and very thoughtful. Mm. And, I started like kind of tasting and beer tasting them with my dad when I was living at home during the summertime, whilst we were like kind of long distance, and got really interested in the whole process of the beer and how it's made and how to design it. And yeah, and then I started drinking beers from there. That's about
trying
it.
Every single beer.
So you're in this long distance relationship, just like, okay, I have to text Saskia pictures of myself drinking beer. Yeah. And they're like, I'm into this.
I don't know why. Yeah. The story just makes me think, like, why did you go ahead?
I love that. So how did you, so you're in this long distance relationship for the summer. When, and I guess tell the story of like how you actually decided to start brewing and to start queer beer.
So we were in a long distance for the summer, and we went back and forth seeing each other. And then in the spring of the next year, Saskia moved over to London.
Yeah, but we were literally discussing today, like, how did we actually start, like, from the beginning? Because it kind of, like we said before, it kind of started as a little bit as a joke, really, like with the whole beer story and how we were just randomly got into beer. But then also discovered like the great, like how much we actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And wanted to do something different, which is all, because we were just talking about how like how crazy it was that there was no like lesbian brewery or like a queer brewery, and how great it would be to like start that.
Okay, we have to take an ad break. Stay tuned to hear how this impulsive moment turned out.
Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
We are back with the sweet, brave, and wonderful founders of Queer Beer.
Yeah, so you moved over in the spring, and I think I was very unhappy at university. I had changed course, I think, for a third time. Essentially, it started out as a joke, because I was just imagining, like, one morning over breakfast, like, wouldn't it just be crazy if there was, like, this lesbian brewery, just, like, these butchers, like, you know, like swirling these hops and all these, like, this. I was just imagining, like, a queer brewery, and I just thought, why not us? And so I got in contact with a brewery in London, and just asked, like, hey, can we commission you to, like, make some beer for us? And they loved the beer from the start, and they loved the idea, which I was very nervous about saying this, because, you know, the scene of beer today is straight
right,
white guys.
So narrow.
What it is, and that's exactly what our brewer actually looked like.
We had no idea, like, what to expect when we were approaching him.
Yeah.
But luckily,
he was super open-minded, and he's very talented, and he knows a lot about beer. And I was, like, on Coronas at the time, so it wasn't exactly, like, something I was, you know, an expert in. But now I feel like we're getting there. And we started off with a pale ale, so that's our first, the original queer beer, I think, which is, you know, we wanted something super easy and super simple that we would both love as people who are not beer drinkers all the time, like something everyone can enjoy. So we went for a really, really simple beer, and we spoke to the brewer about it, and we said, this is what we want. And we just set out a whole day just to make the beer.
Most of our friends came along, and, like, we took a lot of photos and documented the whole day, and me and Bhavani were, like, stirring the hops as good as we could, even though it was super heavy and, like, you had to be really, like, firm,
yeah,
or whatever.
And at the end of that day, we got to try the wort, which is, like, the unfermented beer, which is essentially, like, this strange, not particularly great tasting, you know, unfermented beer, which is kind of sweet, but also has, like, this kind of citrusy element to it from the hops. And I've personally fell in love with, like, even the unfermented beer that we tasted on the day. And
I did not.
You did not. You did not. So.
No, honestly, but it is.
I was very excited by the taste of it, because you can kind of see that the flavors are there, even when it's, like, tasting a bit, you know, special in itself. You're like, okay, well, great. Well, when it's fermented and when it's going to be carbonated and all these things, it's going to taste hopefully delicious. So, and we waited, like, the 10-15 days it takes to kind of become beer, and then it was all packaged and ready to go. And and then it was from there, we just, you know, had 2,000 cans of our queer beer just in this guy's brewery, which was a real sight to kind of turn up to.
So incredible. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, like, what the goals are of queer beer and maybe how they've evolved.
So definitely we've been thinking when we started the beer, We came from the thought of queer spaces in London. Like London, like we are blessed to live in such a big city, which have plenty of queer great spaces, but still we felt like there wasn't something kind of casual and like easy going.
Yeah.
It was either like a club night or I don't know really.
Like, yeah, just club nights essentially. Yeah. That's what you get in London if you want to hang out as like on a queer event. It would be just as I'm sure it's other places. It's
changing a lot and a lot. But we definitely wanted to be a part of that and contribute with something different than just like a turn up night,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I think our main goals was to be a part of the queer scene in London. And that was a really personal thing for me, especially as I had literally moved from like a farm town basically into a city, and I was still kind of getting used to navigating the queer spaces in and around London. And I thought it'd be a great thing, as both of us had basically just moved to London pretty early on, and Saskia had just moved over to be with me and to live with her friends. I thought it'd be a great idea for us to kind of navigate that scene together and be a part of the scene and kind of be a part of uniting queer people. And also having like a product when you go on a night out, or if you're having like a casual night, to have a product that's made from within the community for the community, with, you know, just,
we're also, we like profits are going to charity organizations supporting the LGBTQ community, which is like a part of it that we really want to like make sure that we involve within the beer, that we're not just making it for, you know, like it is for fun, but we also want to have that aspect of the beer, so it makes it special for us.
Yeah, so but it's been really fun to kind of get to know London and also be able to be noticed from even like from you, and being noticed from like parts of the world, and which I would have never have thought would have happened over the last year. So it's been crazy fun.
But, I'm so jealous of everyone in London. I'm like, wow, all I want to do with the rest of my day is just like go hang out with some queers and drink queer beer. I actually wanted to ask, you mentioned a little bit the kind of profit sharing, but what organizations are you all able to support with queer beer?
So we've been kind of, our go-to is the Albert Kennedy Trust, which is a charity for LGBTQ youth, and it supports them kind of during times of like homelessness, etc. And that was quite a personal one for us, as it's, I don't know, I feel like because we're quite young, we kind of relate to feeling lost and alone, and that kind of,
extremely lucky, like I'm very privileged to have like a place where we can stay to be safe, safe housing, and like the feeling of not being like safe in your home must be, you know, I can't even imagine what that must be.
It must be
like
terrifying. So that's where 10% of our profits are going to, and we've also been kind of supporting our friends who are like going through top surgery and donating
for fundraising,
just like for our personal, like for our little bubble that we have in London. So yeah, it's growing slowly, and we haven't obviously raised too much because, you know, we've just started out, but we're hoping for it to be so much more in the next year and the next years to come. So
you all are doing the most. Don't rush yourselves. I was wondering, you are, you know, unfortunately not typical brewers. As you're kind of getting into looking at having your own brewery and learning more about beer, I wonder, like, what have some reactions been of folks in the brewing world?
That's a great question. The reaction we get is quite mixed, I feel like. Queers are just like, oh my God, queer beer, we love it, we're gonna buy a little bit, la la la. They love it, and the packaging as well, because we've like gone for this kind of fun metallic packaging which kind of shimmers a rainbow.
It's a bit like oil spill.
Yeah, like a kind of holographic type of feel to it. So it's just caught a lot of attention, and some people who come over and will kind of, you know, wander around the beer and kind of do a circle around it and be like, oh, well, what's that? And we'll be like, oh, it's our queer beer. And they kind of don't always know how to react and have been a bit like, oh, queer beer, and kind of smile to themselves, or like, it's been really, but I don't think we've ever
like in the brewing world, like it's been really great. Yeah, like, we've mostly met white cis men, I guess, and you know, you never really know what like approach we're gonna get, like a young queer like interracial couple making beer, like you don't see that every day.
Yeah,
but it's been really, really good. Like people have really been like professional, so we're very grateful that it's been receiving such a good feedback.
Yeah,
as it has.
Yeah, it's been it's been great. It's been really, we've been very lucky.
It's very fun.
Yeah, it's like really fun.
People come up and like at like market fairs and stuff that we've been doing quite a lot, like to see the different reactions.
It feels like sometimes some of the guys like hold back from like mansplaining. Like you can tell that they really want to explain more about the beer, but they like stop themselves because we're like there being like, no, this is, we know what we're doing and this is our beer. And so it's been a quite confident boost, I guess. To feel like we're at some sort of level where we can discuss the beer and the future of it and what's happened in our story and all that.
And obviously queers love it. You two are the cutest and the sweetest. And I wonder, like, what is running a business as a couple, a business that you started like pretty early on in your relationship? How has that been?
That's a great question.
It's been ups and downs.
It's been a roller coaster. It has been wild.
But also because we've been going through so much in our relationship apart from just the beer. Like just a year ago when we were just starting out, like Bhavani literally just dropped out of uni. I quit my job at the same time we were going to move into a flat, which fell through.
Yeah.
We had to move in with your parents.
And back into this town.
So so it's literally, it's been a roller coaster. And at the same time, managing the beer and trying to get new jobs and trying to find a new house, I guess everyone goes through that. But it's been like tiring on the relationship. But
yeah, it is really stressful at times to have like a business when you're like 24/7 with someone, but because I think we also have so much fun with it, it kind of balances out. Even it can be really really stressful, but
we're definitely like so grateful. We're trying to remind ourselves, it really is a privilege to be able to do this and to do it with like the person you love the most.
Yeah, so, and it's also really helped like my family, which is this quite a traditional family, kind of come around. I don't think we would have been this close to my family, especially if we didn't have this kind of fun project, which they're also kind of involved in.
They've been super helpful.
They've been really supportive over it. And especially like my parents, they've kind of come a long way since like my coming out days to suddenly support my gay business with my girlfriend. You know, all these things. So it kind of really came around. Yeah, really. It's been great. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So wonderful. I'm so glad that queer beer exists. I'm so glad that you two are the two people that are behind it.
We're so glad your podcast exists.
Yeah,
we're going to listen to it. We're going to thank you so much. We're big fans.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan. This has been incredible. Anything else that I missed or that listeners should know about where they can find you on the internet or things you have coming up?
Follow us on Instagram, queerbeer_UK. And I'm doing like this weird podcast voice. Anyway. So we have a website that is going to be launching soon, which
you can find on the Instagram. But if you don't have Instagram,
shoot us an email, info@thequeerclub.co.uk.
Good stuff.
And we'll get back to you.
Ugh, I love those two. And I really, truly am very jealous of those of you in London. Anyway, thank you for tuning into Queer the Table today. The show is produced by me, Nico Whistler. Our logo was designed by Natalie Uduwella, and our theme song was written and performed by Denali Gillespie, who also inspired the name for the show. If you want more queer food content, you can follow us on Instagram @queerthetable. And if you're enjoying the show so far, please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Lastly, we are very stoked to be a part of Heritage Radio Network, where new and wonderful food-focused podcasts are being added all the time. You can check those out at heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks. Till next time.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.